How many times a day do you think you say thank you? I bet, like most people, you say thank you even when you think you should be saying something else. Amen? And I bet you've taught your children that too. Amen? Uncle Wayne could give your 6-year-old son a broken hammer on Christmas. And what would you say? Say thank you. I know that you've been paying attention over these past 6 years, but when our children pray, whether I am leading them after the children's moment or whether they are using their own words, the first 3 words that they usually say are those sacred words, thank you, God. And we'd like to say that our child is so creative, they just thought of it all by themselves, but no, they didn't. You put it in them. Joyce, this morning, Alex, Sheila, Tracy, Broad, Adrian, Jennifer, Angela, Mary, Rebecca, Josh, Tile, and all the rest of us. We have fed these words to our children. They got it from their mom, their dad, their grandpa, their grandma, giving thanks for, shall we say, even the less weightier aspects of life. Like finding a phone or having your prayer answered that your husband lost his phone. Finding a good seat or especially the coveted parking spot. In our family, our children know that we have a saint that I pray to when we need a parking spot. Saint Spacious. Now, I'm giving that to you, but do not overuse it. Amen. I'm very careful about when I ask St. Spacious for that spot because I don't want to overuse it. My children will say, Daddy, Daddy, say that prayer. St. Spacious, St. Spacious, I know you can find a way to make a spot appear for us today. Oh, there it is. Thank you, St. Spacious. It's a miracle. Saying thank you is proper. And it's polite. And of course, that is what we would teach our children. Gratitude, however, is at the core of our spiritual beings. And it is essential for these lives we live that on many days are too hard. Amen? The longtime Methodist lyricist, Sly Stone. You remember of Sly and the Family Stone? Number 402 on the top 500 songs. Who gets to come up with that? Who has time to sit around and figure out what the top 500 songs should be? Somebody did, and they put it on the internet, and I'm sharing it with you today graciously. Number 402 is Sly's song from our Methodist tradition. I want to thank you for letting me be myself again. And if you knew anything about Sly Stone, you would know that he had a lot to be thankful for. And his song might have been, I want to thank you for saving me from being the fool that I've always been. Amen. Again. Amen. The first verse, looking at the devil, grinning at his gun, fingers start to shaking, I begin to run, bullets start chasing, I begin to stop. We begin to wrestle. I'm on top. I want to thank you for letting me be myself again. I want to thank you for letting me be myself again. Minister Jackson, that's what we want next week. Amen. Well, Sly might have something in common with your grandmother or that person in your family who always said those words when you did not want to hear them. Oh, it'll be all right, dear. Everything's going to be fine. Maybe your grandmother who always said, God will make a way, right after your prom date didn't show up. Right after you couldn't get a job for the 6th week in a row. Right after you got cut from some team, old grandmother would just step in and say, oh, it'll be all right, dear. God will make a way, and you know what way you wanted to go right then. But this is grandmother's way of saying, at some point, you are going to say thank you. At some point, this too shall pass. At some point, my church will truly find a way to believe its own doctrine of open hearts, open minds, and open doors, the United Methodist Church. That kind of faith and pending gratitude is just plain hard to believe in on a lot of days of each of our factually hard lives. But as we sit here, we know it's true. It is so true that we teach our children to say it before they can understand it. Amen? We know it. Recently, someone asked a Jesuit priest a very hard and unfair question. The person said, "Can you really say that God has brought something good out of Sandy Hook Elementary?" And the Jesuit gave a really hard grandma faith kind of answer. He said, "Not yet." That is a Psalm 22 kind of answer. We all know Psalm 22, the most infamous psalm in the book. My God, why have you forsaken me?" Do you know how that psalm ends? It ends, "My God is not far off. My help will come from the Lord. He has heard me, and I know God will respond." Psalm 100, our psalm for today, is the foundation of that kind of faith and gratitude that we saw in Grandma. 100 simply states this: I know something. And when I know nothing else, I know this. I know that the Lord is God. I'm not God. Thank God for that. My boss is not God. Thank God for that. Church doctrine ain't God. Thank God for that. I know that God is God. Psalm 100 simply says, I know that God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. God is not a Santa Claus kind of good. Good when you're good. God is just plain good. I know that. Psalm 100 says, I know, and I can speak of faith to my grandchildren even when they don't want to hear it, that God is faithful from generation to generation, and God will be as faithful to you as God has been to me. Amen? Amen. So based on that, I will now sing, "Let us enter his gates with thanksgiving in our hearts. And I will stand up and say, this is the day that the Lord has made. And I will rejoice, for he has made me glad." It is difficult for us to remember that Grandma wasn't born with that kind of faith and gratitude. She was just like us, going through the same things, maybe worse, that we went through. She was born with the same sense that our children has, maybe just learning to recite words she didn't know the full sense of their meaning. But somebody had the gumption to teach them those words. Grandma's gratitude is not for the faint of heart. It is for people like us. This week, I called my friend Robert. His mother had passed. And I said, "Robert, what do you always want to remember about your mother?" And he said, "I will always remember how loyal my mother was to me and to her people, my brothers, her devotion. And I will remember that my mother had a very low tolerance for inappropriate behavior, and it used to annoy us quite a bit. And I will remember that she never made me feel like I should be anything than the person God made me to be. I felt her affirmation. And then he said this, but I want you to know this, friend. These past 2 years have been a living hell. That mother has been gone for 2 years. And the person that I visit is just a body in dementia. It has been hard as hell. I haven't wanted to bring my children there, but I did bring them there. And I need to tell you this. In the hour that my mother passed, two things happened. I felt relief, and I prayed to God, thank you for this life, and thank you for this death. Thank you, God. And then I cried. I spoke to Jose in our garden in the back of the church. And Jose was picking his red beans. Picking his red beans. I think I still have it in my Bible. It's probably on the floor out there somewhere. I said, Jose, how's it going? He said, Pastor, no trabajo, no dinero. No job, no money. Jose is a carpenter and he cut his hand on the job a few months ago and he hasn't gotten it back. And then he said, but thank God for this garden. It's not enough, but it keeps me going. This week, a woman came to the church and she said, I need someone to pray with me. I've just been put out. Me and my 3 children, we're staying at a friend's. I've got nothing. And I said, let us pray. Thank you, God, for this friend. Thank you for this door that I have to walk through. Thank you for this roof that is over my head. Thank you for this refrigerator that is full of food, because I know you have provided it, because it's not the door or the roof or the food that I would choose. So you must have given this to me, and I am so grateful. And I trust, good Lord, that you will continue to open these doors. This is not a gratitude for the faint of heart. This week, we had a little homework blowout at home. And as I sat there alone, not my homework, I said, you know, God, there are some aspects of fatherhood that I really should be better at. And you continue to allow me to be a father anyway. Thank you, God. Then I went up and apologized to my daughter. Thank you, God. There are some aspects of being a husband that I should be better at, but you continue to allow me to be a husband. Thank you, God. There are some aspects of being a human being that I should be better at, like when I'm driving down the road and yelling at somebody who's driving past me, amen? But you continue to allow me to be part of the human race. Thank you, God. Amen. This Thursday, Thanksgiving, you may find yourself sitting at a table. And you might just take a gaze around your table and think about all the people gathered there. Maybe it's an intergenerational table. And maybe you'll have a thought like, you know, I should have gotten more love. But I can see now that God made sure that I got just enough. And for that, Lordy, am I going to enjoy this feast at this table with these people. These are my people, and you are my God. And for that, I will always give thanks. Amen? Amen. Gratitude, first grace. Teach it, believe it, practice it, and live it. There is a Thanksgiving to be had, and we are all invited to that table. Amen? Amen. Amen. Give yourself some praise, First Grace.